Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In my one son lives in Singapore, and they're like 10% Christian in that country, but they have the Christmas trees out, and they have presents, because Christmas over there is big business. And Christmas over here is also big business in America. I read where Americans spend $450 billion on Christmas. $450 billion we spend. And the American Research Group estimated that, on the average, that was like $907 per American family. So obviously, we Americans are in a giving spirit this time of year. And for we Christians, though, the question becomes, for this time of year, what gift would the baby Jesus want? What gift would Jesus want for his birthday? Because that's the main reason we're preparing to celebrate Jesus' birth. And I think as we read the Bible, as we pay attention to the Christmas story, pay attention to God, I think he gives us a big hint of how he wants us to celebrate Jesus' birthday. And it's not so much the emphasis on presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, but I think it's more emphasis on presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, presence, being present. Take our gospel reading today. John the Baptist told it like it was. He prepared the people for the presence of God, Emmanuel, God with us. He spoke the word of God directly with no frills. He called people to turn back to God, to repent, to turn to God in their lives, and to live that every day. You know, Israel had not seen a prophet for 400 years since Malachi. And some people thought God had abandoned them. Some people thought God was dead. They thought the God of Israel was no more. But John the Baptizer, with precision and force, proclaimed that the kingdom of God was indeed among them. As they turned and repented and were baptized, they would experience this kingdom of God. God was present to them. So they needed to start living in God's new reality, because the Messiah was coming. Things were radically changing. It wouldn't be the same to love God and to love God's law. You know, that's why the Luther's Catechism set up. It starts with the Ten Commandments, and it goes to the Apostles' Creed, because the Apostles' Creed shows how much God loves us. And the Ten Commandments show us what's God's will. What's God want from us? We should have no question. The Ten Commandments. But the Creed helps us know God's love, helps us love the Word of God, love the law of God, love being in church, remembering the Sabbath day, love not taking God's name in vain, loving our mother and father, loving not stealing, loving not committing adultery, loving not stealing, loving other people enough that you interpret everything they do in the best possible light. They don't bear a false witness. Loving the poor and not forgetting the poor. That's the good news of Christmas. Emmanuel, God is with us, and God loves us, and God shows us how to live our lives. And by showing us the way to live our lives. That's why the early Christians weren't called Christians. They were called the way of Jesus Christ. God's presence is the present of Christmas. And as John reminds us today, God calls us to live in a radically different way in response to this presence of Emmanuel with us, which is God's radical, unconditional love for us in Jesus Christ. And our call to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly with God. This is the way of the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how we live it on earth before we go to eternal life. And in this radical love, I believe, he calls us to rethink how maybe we could celebrate Christmas. If from God's end, presence, relationships is the heart of the Christmas gospel, shouldn't our celebration of Christmas reflect that? Think about it. When you reflect on your fondest memories of Christmas in your past, as you think about that, what do you remember? I would guess that you remember more of your family and friends and traditions, sharing good food, sharing stories, seeing crazy Uncle Chuck there doing his thing, and love more than the material gifts that you received. God sent his only Son into the world to live for us, to show us how to live, to die for us, to rise for us, and to give us true life in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that life becomes most real to us when we love others, when we imitate Christ, when we, in that spirit, do the same thing that Jesus did. In fact, Jesus said, you will do the things that I do and greater things than these because I go to the Father and I send you the Comforter, the Paraclete. I know many people who feel so emotionally let down in the days and weeks after Christmas. I know some of my neighbors who don't know about the 12 days of Christmas. So the lights and the tree goes up the day after Thanksgiving, and it comes down before New Year's Day, way before January 6th, which is Epiphany, which is the end of the 12 days of Christmas. And we get that gnawing sense of emptiness, even with all the garage and a house full of gifts. So this Advent, we can plan to celebrate Christmas in a way that brings real joy, real love to ourselves and others, and honors God. We are already doing this. Look at all the generosity of your hearts, that God loves you and you want to love others and give them the present of the presence of God with our gifts today. And the purpose of making someone else's Christmas joyful, as you hopefully will have a joyful Christmas too. Dawn's getting ready to lead us in joyful Christmas hymns and praise. In fact, he's going to, because a good friend of his died, an organist, he has to go to Butler Christmas Eve and do a service there. So our service will be at 11 o'clock. No, I'm kidding. It'll still be at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, but Don's going to do two. So God bless you. He's really giving on Christmas Eve. And you know that there's beautiful ways of giving the present of the presence of God. For example, I know one little girl who's going to give her grandmother chocolate cocoa for Christmas. But the thing is that she says she's going to have the cocoa with her grandmother so she can hear some of the wonderful stories about her grandmother's life and learn more about her legacy as a child. I know a father that instead of giving his son a Nintendo, the newest computer game, he's getting two baseball gloves and a baseball so he could play ball with his son, spend time with his son. I know a husband who's going to give his wife a coupon book with 12 date nights options. So at least once a month, they'll go on a date to a special place. I know a lady that rather than baking cookies and giving them to somebody, she's going to invite people, other ladies to her house, and they make cookies together to give. Of course, they all have their shots and their boosters and their flu shots. You know, they're going to be smart, but they're going to be together cooking to give. Rather than expressing our love for one another with money spent, love is more expressed in the time spent together, building up relationships, just as God builds up his relationship with us every Sunday through the Word and through the sacrament. The memories and fullness of love that these relationships build will last much longer than anything that we can buy at the Ross Park Mall. Another thing, throughout his earthly ministry, his life, Jesus shows us the joy of service. Jesus once told us that we can find him in those who were least among us, those who are often overlooked by others, those who are often forgotten by others, the marginalized. But God doesn't forget them. God doesn't forget them. How did Christmas first announced to the outsiders, the shepherds, the ones in the fields? Neither should we forget them. He reaches out to them through you and me today. We'll find Jesus in a lonely neighbor or a hurting relative or in a nursing home or in a homeless stranger or a member of our congregation who's lonely. So here's the question. How might we serve in ways that bless Jesus and make him happy for his birthday? To make him happy. And with whom can you partner? Not just to do it yourself, but to partner. Remember when Jesus sent his disciples out? He sent them out two by two. Who can you partner with to do this? That's a gift that honors Jesus. Advent is a time to prepare for the wonderful present of God's presence among us. And God has blessed you. He has blessed me to use our gifts, to use your uniqueness, your imagination of love, your love that God has given you. Let God work things through your presence. And together, in the presence of Christ, we become a present to the world that glorifies God, whose main present to us is the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.